Hi, Rabbi Say. We're up to the second installment of Megillas Esther. Last week we went through the beginning of Perek Aleph and explained about the way the Goyim shows us Achashverosh's insecurities and his lack of self-confidence that led him to do all sorts of foolish things. And we got to the end of the party, basically, where Vashti refused to come to on Achashverosh's command. She told him he's a stable boy. She told him he's a good for nothing. He got very angry, and the party broke up, and everybody went home and upset. Right, which is a fitting end to a 187-day party. So now we're up to Pasuk Yud Gimel, and Achashverosh has to figure out what to do now, right? What's he going to, how's he going to follow up? He can't just ignore this incident because then he's going to look like a very weak person, a very weak king. His wife in public disobeyed him and everybody knew about it. So he can't ignore it. He has to do something about it. The question is what to do and what's the best way to go about it. The Gaon explains that we'll see in a minute what he really wanted at this point. He was still very angry at her, but he had come to the realization that he needed her. But he needed to do some sort of a psak on her. So it says he went, the king said, L'chachamim, yoydei ha'itim, to the chachamim who know the times, which is an interesting way of calling chachamim. What is knowing the times, you know, have to do with being a chacham? And what does it mean? There is a medrash that says that he was referring to the Jewish Chachamim, that first he went to the Jewish Chachamim, the Gemara says, and they know the times, they know how to set the times of Rosh Chodesh, but they begged off, they didn't want to be involved because they understood that it's a no-win situation. If they tell him to kill Vashti, he'll eventually have tainus. If they tell him not to kill Vashti, he'll have tainus right away. You don't respect me, you don't think that this is a big deal, that somebody disobeyed me in public, so they told him that, listen, nowadays that we're in Golis, we don't have the same level of Chachma. We're not somebody you could rely upon. You have to go to somebody smarter than us. So they sent him elsewhere. That's one pirush on it, but it's not the only understanding of it. So he says he went to the Chacham, the Yodei Ha'itim. Why? Ki chein dvar hamelech, because this is the thing of the king, which is interesting. What does it mean? It was the Dvar HaMelech. What's the Dvar HaMelech? Then he has to go to the Yodei Ha'itim specifically. And then the pasuk continues and says, Ki chein Dvar HaMelech, this is the thing of the king. Lefnei kol Yodei Das V'din. In front of all of those who know Das and Din. Das is the law. Sometimes it means the law that's religiously influenced, like Dat, Dati. V'din is either the secular law or how to do din, how to dan back and forth, like how to argue, like in the sense of a lawyer. So it's a very strange pasuk because it has, he went to the Chachamim, and it calls them Yodei Ha'itim, and the Yodei Das, and din, and this is the thing of the king. So what's going on over here? So the Gaon explains like this, that there was a law in Paras U'Madai that said like this, that if the king obviously is the highest power in the country, the final authority. If there's something that happens in the country, which is a rebellion or a threat to the country, to the rule of law, or anything of that nature, so the king not only has the right, but has the obligation to paskin on it. He has to be the one to judge it, because he's the one with the final word. It wasn't like nowadays with Supreme Courts and things like that. The king makes a decision. However, something personal that happens to the king, he's angry at someone, somebody insults him, somebody disagrees with him, maybe in a way which is not respectful. He's not allowed to paskin on that. He has to go to court for that. Why was this? Very, very logical reason for this law. The king obviously needs to have advisors around him, and generally for advisors, unless you're Donald Trump picking his daughter, oh, she's actually pretty good. But generally, when you pick advisors, you want to have the smartest people, people with experience, and accomplished people around you. Now, if these people had to be afraid that any disagreement with something the king said or any small insult that they might even inadvertently caused to the king. He could just, you know, be in a bad mood, woke up on the wrong side of the bed, not feeling so good, and he could just say right away, listen, kill this guy, off with his head, so nobody would want to be a king's advisor. Because it's too dangerous of a position. What do you need to be in that position for? So they made this law to protect these people. This way they'll be comfortable being near the king in case the king gets angry at them for some small slight or something like that. He won't be able to paskin, they'll be able to go to court, and by that time everybody will have calmed down and the court will be able to give a reasoned verdict and so forth. So in this case, that's what the pasuk means. The pasuk says that the king went to consult with the chachamim, yoidei ha'itim, ki chein dvar ha-melech, because this is the thing of the king, meaning this is the thing that the king had to do. He had to know, he had to go in front of these people for them to paskin the din for him. Now, who did he go to? What does it mean, yoidei ha'itim? So the pasuk continues. I'll give you, bring you one more pasuk, and then I'll explain what the yoidei ha'itim were specifically. It says, who did he go to? He went to Avakari Velov, the ones who were close to him. Karshna Shes, as well, gives all the names. Roye Prey HaMelech, the seven ministers who saw the face of the king. Hayeshu Mishayna B'malchus, they sat in the front. Now, what does this mean, Roye Prey HaMelech? It's also a strange terminology when they saw the king's face. If you sit in the front, obviously you see his face. The answer is that they weren't just people who sat in the front. They were political animals. They were people with a political sense that understood what's going on. That's the Lashon Yoidei Ha'itim. They understood the times. Sometimes you have to know the political climate. You have to know what's going on. Not every situation is just cut and dried like, you know, Psak Halacha. You have to know what the situation is, what the matzav is, and it changes according to that. And it also changes, you also have to know one more thing. You have to be a chacham that when you see the person talking, you're able to interpret what does he really mean. A lot of times a politician gets on television and he starts to speak, and somebody who doesn't understand says, ooh, he said A, he said B, and they take his words, as they call it, at face value. You can't, this is the opposite of face value. You can't do that with a politician. You have to know how to read his face and say, he's saying A, but he really means B. Or he's saying B, and he really means Z. In other words, the king went in front of these guys with the understanding that they understood the political climate, they understood why he needed Vashti, and they understood how to read his face. So when he gets up to talk to them, they'll know what kind of a psak halacha he really wants out of them, and they'll deliver what he needs. So what does he really need? So we'll take a look, let's see, he's about to say his complaint. Let's read the complaint of the king. He's talking now in front of the judges, and he's saying, this is what happened. What happened? He says, Kedos, what's the law? Ma lasa is b'malka Vashti. What should we do with Queen Vashti? Well, what did she do wrong? Ala sheloi osisa es maimar hamelech Achashverosh. She didn't do the word or the command of King Achashverosh. Biyad hasarisim that was sent in the hands of the Sarisim, right? So here's again a pasuk that we need to unpack. First of all, you'll notice right away, what did Vashti really do wrong? She did two things. She didn't come when she was commanded, but maybe even more importantly, she sent back something very insulting. In Achashverosh's complaint, he doesn't mention the insult. He just says that she didn't listen to me. She didn't do what I told her to do. Secondly, he throws in the words, Biyad HaSarisim. She didn't do the maimer of the king, which was sent by shlichim, by these messengers. Why is that important? You look back five psukim, and you'll see that he sent messengers. Why is it relevant now? It seems like an unnecessary detail. She didn't do what the king commanded. Who cares how the king commanded it? The answer is that Achashverosh does not really want Vashti killed. He doesn't want her punished too harshly. He wants to keep her around for two reasons. One, he needs her. Of course, like we said, she came from really royal blood, and being married to her gave him legitimacy. And secondly, he probably loves her. She was certainly attractive. So he wanted her around. And he wanted to get the message across to these judges. Now, he couldn't say, don't do anything to her, because then he looks like a wimp. So he needs to, as if, make an accusation, but couch the accusation in words that they'll understand what he really wants. So first of all, he minimizes her aveira. He says, listen, she didn't do what I told her to do. But you should know that even when I sent her this message, I only sent it beyond Hasarisim. I didn't tell her myself that I wanted her to do it. I sent it with messengers. So she has a lot of ways out of this. First of all, the actual fact that I sent such a kind of a command, if you remember, it was not very polite thing to ask. And I sent it in the hands of messengers. That itself is a taina on me. I shouldn't have done that. I sort of set her up for failure. Secondly, she has an out. She can say she wouldn't believe that I would have sent such a thing. She didn't hear it from me directly. She only heard it from the Sarisim. She only heard it from the messengers. Maybe they changed it. Maybe they didn't understand exactly what I wanted. Maybe she didn't understand. Maybe everything is a maybe. It sort of clouds the issue a little bit. So he threw that in to say, Rabbi Isai, even that she didn't listen to me, but she's got sort of an excuse. He totally ignored the insult. He didn't mention it at all. And you notice one more thing. Suddenly, for the first time, he doesn't call her Vashti Hamalka. He calls her Malka Vashti, which, as we said last week, it's very precise that whenever it says Vashti Hamalka, it's somebody trying to undermine her Chashiva. So saying, she's Vashti. She happens to be a queen. But she's just a person called Vashti. When you say Malka Vashti, you're ascribing royalty to them. You're saying, I'm talking about a queen. And he's reminding the judges, this is a queen that we're talking about. Her name happens to be Vashti, but this is Queen Vashti. And therefore, you have to treat her that way, and it's a different sort of a judgment with a queen than with a regular person. And by the way, guys, don't forget that I need her around because I need her queenship on my side that helps lend me legitimacy. So that's how he presents his case. Obviously, what he wants is very simple. He wants them to paskin some sort of a slap on the wrist. Vashti gets a little punishment. She stays alive. Everybody moves on with their lives. Okay, so I'm going to take a break here for a second, send this out so it doesn't get too long, and then we'll continue to see what happens next.